Welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood, episode 53. This episode is brought to you by... I love that. Doesn't that sound cool? Is brought to you by Up4 Probiotics. Up4 Probiotics has been manufacturing probiotics since 1979. That's a really long time, you guys. So you know they know what they're doing. If you're interested in trying a probiotic, if you've always been curious about what kind of effect it could have on your diet or your gut, anything like that, I can tell you we've used them here in our family and they've made a world of difference when it comes to how we feel, our level of energy, our digestion issues. In particular, my daughter has had digestion issues. We gave her the Up4 Kids Cubes and overnight, we could tell immediately a difference. So go and check out Up4 Probiotics. Find out if they are the right probiotics for you. You can find them in your local Target store or at up4probiotics.com.
Hello, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey guys, welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood. It's me, Heather Brooker. Thank you so much for joining me on episode 53. If you missed last week's episode, oh my gosh, I had so much fun. I interviewed my husband and I thought it was going to be weird at first, but you know what? It was pretty awesome. He's pretty great. I would like to have him back on again. I don't typically do like a recurring guest, but if I did, it would be Chris Brooker. We just got a little schmoopy and silly, ridiculous. But anyway, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, make sure you check that out. Today on the show, I have some very funny moms from The Break Womb. They are an internet sensation right now in terms of mom videos and mom sketches that they're putting out. They've been doing this for about a year and have really just blown up online. Moms are finding them. Dads are finding them. Excuse me. Everybody's checking out their videos. They're so smart. They're so funny. They're all very clearly talented actresses. We're talking about Laurel Kopic, Molly Erdman, and Megan Grano. They are all the stars of the Break Womb videos, and two of the moms joined me today on the show to talk about how they came up with the idea for the Break Womb, you know, what's sort of been surprising to them over the last year and a half or so since they started this. So it's really neat behind the scenes look at these moms and how they are busting out of their shell, if you will. I don't say shell in terms of like that they're, you know, shy, but I mean just like busting out of the Hollywood mold and going, you know what, we're gonna create our own path. We're gonna take this town by the balls, which you hear me say a lot on this show if you listen a lot. They're making their own videos. And you know what, you guys, it would not surprise me one bit if you started seeing The Break Womb on your regular TV channels in the coming year or so, like on Comedy Central or on, I don't even know if Nickelodeon is still doing their mom stuff, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. These ladies are very talented and they've got their ish together. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Also, like just on a personal side note, mortified because when they came over, I had given them like glasses of water to drink, and I don't know if they're listening or not, but have you ever had someone like come to your house as a guest and then when they leave, you see that there's like, you know, a big poop stain in the toilet and you didn't realize it was there and they probably saw it or, you know, something and you're like, oh my God, why didn't I clean that? Or like, you know, there was something gross your kid put on the wall and you didn't notice it and, you know, they probably stared at it like, what the hell is that? So I'm mortified because I gave them a glass of water and when they left, I went to pick up the glass of water and there were all these like disgusting white floaties in it. I wanted to die. I wanted to like run after them and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what this is in your water glass that you've been sitting here for an hour, like politely staring at. Just mortified. Things like that happen to me all the time. I am the least cool and smooth person you will ever meet. I'm so beyond awkward. And when I try to be cool or hip, it just ends up me like sweating. I just start sweating. I'm like, look how cool I am. And I'm like, you know, clenching my butt cheek so I don't rip it. And I don't know. I'm just a mess. I'm an embarrassing mess. I'm like, if Bridget Jones was an old married lady with a kid, that would be me. I'm super, super awkward. Speaking of awkward, did I just make this mommy monologue awkward? Probably. I want to talk really quickly. Oh, wait. First of all, I want to say, hey, we have a ton of new followers over on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you. Andra Whipple, which is amazing. And I want to say your name like that all the time. Whipple is now following me on Twitter. Damien Adams, what's up for the guys? Hey, we got guys over on Twitter because it's not just about vaginas on Motherhood in Hollywood. All right, nobody steal that song. I'm keeping it. Iris Ruth Pastor. I don't think she's an actual pastor. I just think she has a cool last name. Like it's called, like it's pastor. Caitlin Hart is over on Twitter. Bridget White. The Twilight Zone podcast. Awesome. If you're a big fan of the Twilight Zone, go and check that out. And on Instagram as well, you guys, Instagram blowing up. You notice I never talk about Facebook. You guys should also like Motherhood and Hollywood on Facebook. Please. I post a lot of ridiculous articles and pictures and stuff over there, obviously, because that's what you do on Facebook. Comedy Pop-Up, Lindsay Hecker, Alicia Zumas, Mama Alicia 222, Joe and Amelia, Over the Top Mommy, Home with the Zerings, all of those folks, thank you for following me on Instagram. If you would, please, you guys, take a moment, follow MIH Podcast on Twitter and Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram. And if you have not yet subscribed to Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes, please take a moment to do that. It really does make a difference in terms of me knowing who's out there, who's listening. I could be tweeting all day long and, you know, nobody's actually listening to my show that I'm tweeting too. But if you would take a minute and please subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on the iTunes or even on Stitcher. If you don't have a fancy Apple phone, please find me on the Stitcher. And thank you. Let me just say that. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to talk a little bit about acting right now, because as many of my actor friends know, this is the slowest time in the industry. Everything is kind of shut down. Everything over the last like month or so, everyone goes on vacation. All of the major TV shows are not in production because everyone does a little summer break. And it is torture for actors who audition regularly. And I personally have not been auditioning like at all. The one thing that is still happening is commercial auditions. Commercial auditions, you know, go on all the time. And I went on a commercial audition the other day. And the waiting room was packed, just packed, teeming with people like waiting out the door. There was kids, adults, people dressed up in wacky costumes, like what happens in commercial auditions. And I just like it kind of caught me off guard. I don't know why, but I wasn't expecting it, you know, on a random Tuesday or whatever. And I just thought, man, there's a lot of people in this town who want to be actors or who are actors and trying to make it and trying to get their big break. And it's kind of humbling in one hand where you're like, wow, I'm really just a small part of a very large puzzle. And then on the other hand, it's kind of, I don't know, soul crushing a little bit, because you're like, why are there so many people here? Why can't it just be me? Because it isn't. And there's, you know, as you guys all know, we're all striving to be a regular working actor, get paid for our jobs. Nobody out there ever say, I just want to act, because you don't want to just act. You want to get paid and act. So make sure you clarify that whenever you're putting that statement out into the universe. That's Heather's tip of the day. Do not say, I just want to be an actor. You say, I want to be a working paid actor, an actor who gets paid and makes money to pay your bills. That's the goal, my friends. All right, stepping down off my soapbox, and I'm now really, really looking forward to sharing this interview with you, with the moms and the women of The Break Womb. Here they are. So I'm here with the hilarious moms, two-thirds of the break room, Megan Grotto and Molly Erdman. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I am the worst at names. I will butcher someone's name, and people are so polite, they'll just look at you and let you keep going.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, please tell me. So you guys have created this wonderful video series inspired by your own experiences as moms. It's called The Break Womb, right?
Yes, correct.
So how long has it been around? About a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
We launched February of 2015.
Okay. What inspired all of this? Because you guys have taken off, like, wildly successful. Wildly.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I'll let Molly feel that.
Megan and Laurel, who can't be here today, the three of us have known each other a really long time. I always say this wrong. Megan and I are sisters-in-law, and I always explain it wrong. I'm always like, our brothers are married. I literally cannot.
I can see how people might be like, what?
It is so, the wording is so confusing.
Our husbands are brothers.
Yes. You know what, though? When you said that, your brothers are married, for some reason, I'm like, oh, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Certainly could happen.
Totally.
Except that I don't have a brother, but otherwise, it's in the realm of possibilities. We've known each other a long time, and Laurel as well. We all started in improv and sketch comedy in Chicago many, many years ago. Not that many. Several.
We don't want to date ourselves.
A handful of years ago. And then we all ended up having babies within a year, year and a half of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sort of found that while there was mom comedy content online, it didn't really
represent
speak to us.
Yeah.
And we have a background in comedy, and we didn't see any like pros going for mom comedy.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, why don't we take advantage of this situation and then the timing and see what we can do. And our initial thing was like, let's launch a YouTube channel. And let's just, you know, real casual, get together like one Sunday a month. We had it in our head that like over the course of 2 hours, we'd just shoot like 3 videos, real easy.
And how did that go?
Not
just
great.
Just based on the looks on your faces, I can imagine you guys maybe hit some roadblocks.
I so clearly remember the first day we shot. We had a friend of ours who has always shot all of our videos, who's great. And he showed up with his wife who helps out and does our sound.
Mm-hmm.
And we met at Laurel's house, and we were like, well, let's each come in with an idea and we'll do all 3 ideas and we'll just improvise them because we're improvisers.
Yeah.
and we'll get to all 3. Each one should take about 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
The first one took the full, you know, 2 or 3 hours or whatever, because we hadn't really thought like, well, when you improvise on camera, you have to get all of the coverage and make sure you're getting everything.
It's continuous and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find that you wanted to start scripting things out then? Because I know it said you guys have done sketch before.
Yeah.
And by it, I mean the internet. Sorry. I just realized it.
It.
Someone
it's an abbreviation
the world
for it.
Says.
The IT.
The IT,
baby.
Because you guys had done sketch before, too. So then did you realize or kind of start thinking, like, maybe let's start mapping out some beats and, like, you know.
Yeah, we definitely did. And we're, at this point, a year and a half in, we're a pretty well-oiled machine where either it's fully scripted. We can do in a 4-hour block, we can get 4 sketches done now, which is
great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That usually requires the sketches to be fully scripted and or we'll have a beat sheet that's pretty thoroughly thought through, which is way different than when we started.
Yes. Where we would just sit down at the table, like our poor Ryan and Arena, who shoot our videos, they're like the greatest troopers in the world because they would just calmly sit there and like look at their phones. We'd be like, so how do you want to do this? Like, what's the idea? No planning at all.
Yeah.
Just like, let's do something about how hard it is to get the kids to sleep. Okay.
Totally true.
But everybody has to start somewhere, I guess. And
yeah.
So I think for me, the hardest part is taking that initial leap to like, I'm just going to do something.
Yeah.
You know, like my podcast, my first few episodes did not sound so great because I was still figuring things out. And God bless the people who are nice enough to come and be on my show. But I literally was like, are we in a tin can? Like, what's going on? I mean, there was a lot of bumps, but taking that first leap to get outside your comfort zone and do something different. Did you guys feel like, you're all actors. Do you feel like you needed to do something like this to further your acting career? Or do you think that it was just more like, oh, this will be just something fun to do on the side?
I think it's a little of both. I think it's really important to us that in any, that everything we do has a little element of both. That and more what I mean is that if we're doing something industry related, like, you know, to further ourselves as actors or writers or whatever, it needs to be something we enjoy. And then if no one else ever saw it, or if it was just, you know, a tight community of moms who enjoyed it, that's enough.
Right.
You know, I think that always shows when people do something, like what their motivation is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it was we just have all these ideas from being moms for several months to a year or so, in that amount of time. And we have all these funny ideas. And then I think also it was, I think there's always, you're striving to find like, what is your niche that mm-hmm. you can, I don't want to say exploit, but,
but exploit,
yeah.
but take advantage of,
right.
You know, what sets you apart? What makes you
it's the
different.
Same thing in casting whenever they say find your type kind of thing.
Yes.
Some people buck against that. A lot of my friends say, oh, I don't want to be typecast. And I'm like, no, you want to be typecast.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then that's you. And you're the only one who can do you.
Right.
You know? And then when you get to Halle Berry status or whatever, you can branch out and do other things.
And
but
we're all going to get to Halle Berry
status.
We're
all going to get there.
It's a matter of time. I think that's such an important lesson. And Megan and I have talked about this a lot. We've both lived out here like eight, nine years. I don't know.
Yeah.
All from Chicago?
Well, we lived there. I grew up in Dallas.
Okay.
And I grew up in Michigan, but then I was in Chicago for about 9 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was there for 11 years. And we performed together there a lot. And coming out here, I think I had the perception of, because in Chicago, Chicago's kind of like, a step above like high school or college. Like in high school, you only have that age kids, so a lot of them are going to play elderly people, and a lot of them are going to play, you know, like I was someone's grandmother in a high school musical at some point. And Chicago's almost like that. You would go to an audition and just everyone would be there.
Yeah, so true.
Whereas here it's so specific. Mm-hmm. And at first, I came here being like, I need to have as wide a range as possible.
Yeah, show them I can do everything.
Yeah. And then that's what you learn over time is that the more specific you can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's hard to embrace that. And I think especially with motherhood, there can be kind of a stigma to that of like, I'm saying goodbye to my career.
Oh my gosh, I read your post on that because
on Backstage?
On like, don't be afraid of having kids.
Right.
I got a lot of heat for that.
Are you serious?
Well, I don't know if you saw on the Backstage, I already cried about it on the previous episode of the podcast. No, not actual tears, more like, oh, baby. No, people were mad because they thought that I was telling people to have children. And like there are comments like, mind your own womb.
Whoa.
You know,
oh my gosh.
You're this privileged white bitch. Can't tell me when to have children. And I was like, I'm not telling you.
Oh my
did
God.
You read the article?
Yeah, right. It's
I was literally
like,
I'm not telling anyone.
No.
It was also too, I was really frustrated and I love Backstage, but they changed the title of the piece, the headline, to make it a little sexier. It was originally a letter I would write to my pre-parent self.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was more like, here's what I would tell you it's going to look like in a few years as an actor in this town. You will work again.
Yeah.
You will have friends who will step in and help you. You'll kind of create a community.
Right.
You know, you will get creative. All of a sudden you'll be like, I have something to say.
Right.
And I have this neat, you know, goal and purpose. So that's really what it was about. And some people did not take it that way.
I thought it was great.
Thank you.
I do a lot of like coaching of younger improvisers and sketch comedians, and I get the question a lot from the women, like, when did you decide it was going to be okay to do this? And you're right, being on the other side of it, there's so much more a feeling of being like, oh, you can do it.
Yeah.
But I get that question asked all the time, like, so is that when you said goodbye to performing? And I'm like, I still perform. Yeah, I still work.
You do.
There
is a fear, yeah, though, I think, of when you become a mom, that you are letting go of your dreams.
Yeah.
In a way. And for me, I was never really afraid of that. I was more just afraid of, like, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, like, I'm going to ruin someone's life. Right. I was more afraid of that because I knew Hollywood would always be there. I knew this town is never going anywhere. Yeah. And if I'm going to act again, I'm going to act. But I just was more afraid of, like, a human being. Right. Like, what totally. Do I do with her? So for me, that was the big fear. And there's a lot of ladies who want to start a family, and guys that want to start a family, but they're nervous to do it because there's so much unknown.
I understand. And like, I feel like, you know, if you're already really super famous, then it seems like more of a decision to me, because I understand that your agents and everybody's
more
in
risk,
and like,
maybe.
Yeah. When are you going to do this? But it's interesting to me that, like, I think if you're not super famous, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's right. not no, as, know,
yeah.
it's so huge in your mind. But, I guess what I'm trying to say is a little that as you're getting older, that's why the work is less. Like,
right.
I think it's no surprise that in Hollywood, it's just that you're
old.
Getting older, and like, Hollywood thinks a woman is old when she's 35.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
It's that. Did you see that Amy Schumer sketch that she did that where she had like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Tina Fey, and they were all like, "We're all too old to be sexy in Hollywood."
It's
and
so
I was
weird,
like, that's
true.
So funny and sad.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and I feel like as you age, like, somehow adding mom to that, like,
ages you further.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people's perception of you as a mom, like, I think about, again, I coach some, like, improv groups that are people in their late 20s, early 30s. And there are often times where people refer to me as a mom. And I'm like, why is that at all pertinent,
like,
to this?
I'm still a person.
Like, because I picked up trash off the ground. Like, I would have done that 5 years ago.
Oh,
I would have done it 10 years ago.
Oh, you're such a mom.
I'm such a mom.
I did a casting typing workshop. Have you guys ever done that? Where you go and you sit down and they're like, here's what, and everybody kind of says, here, they throw out adjectives and names at you. Like, here's what we think you would play.
Oh, cool.
And
that
I was sitting
like
down.
A nightmare to
it
me.
Was, okay. I was torn because part of you is like an actor and you're like, everyone's going to look at me right for the next 10 minutes. There's that part of you that's like really excited. And then there's the other part that's like, oh God, they're all going to be judging you purely based on appearance. So I'm sitting there and people are yelling out, bus driver.
Thank you.
Like,
awesome.
And like, cop and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much right. But the one, everyone goes, mom, she's a total mom. And that's the one that I was like offended by. Like, how dare you?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why I was so offended by, not offended by bus driver, but by mom. Yeah. I was like, oh, I do not look like a mom. Like, how?
Yeah.
I think it's
gosh.
Because instantly then it means we're not sexy anymore.
Right. Yeah,
we're not viable, you know, human beings.
So true.
Like those sexy bus drivers.
Like those sexy bus drivers. Get on the bus. I don't know why. I've never played a bus driver, but I would. I totally
sure.
would.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I think there's an image that moms aren't sexy anymore, which is funny to me that Bad Moms is coming out. Did you guys see the trailer for that?
Yeah.
I saw a lot of mixed reviews from my various mom friends. Some people were like, oh, this looks great. It looks like so much fun. And then others were like, Mila Kunis is like teeny tiny, gorgeous, running around in heels. Like, what? This is not what moms look like.
Right. Oh, interesting.
So what do you guys think? Do you think that there's a Hollywood stereotype for moms?
You know, we live in a very interesting time right now. And I like being a mom and a woman, because I feel like my initial instinct is, yeah, she can't. Mila Kunis doesn't look like, Kristen Bell doesn't look like a typical mom.
Right.
Like, that's not right. And then there's also this feeling of like, well, good for them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, because they are actually
moms. They are
moms.
Actual moms, yeah.
And if and thank God, because if they had cast someone who wasn't a mom and they looked like that, then I would be like,
yeah, heads
furious.
Would roll.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Every mom would be pissed.
But yeah, I do. It's funny. I do think there is a stereotype for mom. I mean, but there's more than one.
Yeah.
You know, there's the, like, and I think about it commercially, because a lot of the auditions that I go on are commercial moms.
Yeah.
And the range of that is like, literally I've gotten an email that for the description of the character is like, hasn't completely let herself go, but certainly hasn't had time to go to the gym recently.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, that's the stereotype of the mom. But yeah. Then there's also the sort of like June Cleaver,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, very everything's very perfect type of thing.
Pinterest,
sweaterist. Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting with Mila Kunis and people like that, like Anna Faris. Mm-hmm. I feel like there has been a recent, I don't know if this is a new phenomenon, Blake Lively, like these like young hot moms.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Which I kind of think is great. Like,
I do too. Yeah.
I think it can be very frustrating as an older, differently hot mom, let's say.
differently
hot. Unorthodoxly hot. But I think that you can see some frustration.
Yeah.
But I also think it's kind of good for moms to see that image of like, yeah. Or not, I mean, not good for us as moms, but good for the world to see moms as not just baby machines.
Right.
But like,
right.
They can still be sexy and appealing.
And, yeah.
And all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder though, like, you know, Chrissy Teigen got a lot of heat
yeah.
for going out on a date 9 days after her baby was born. God bless
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
I could barely get out of bed.
Oh my God.
So she goes on this date and everyone's like, oh, how dare you? Where's your kid? You know, blah, 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 blah. And she's also like immediately lost all her baby weight and looks hot again. And part of me is like, good for you. Mm-hmm. But the other part of me is like, oh man, that does a huge disservice to so many people who think that that's what it really is.
Yeah.
And
right.
It isn't.
Right.
So I feel like I'm like you guys are saying, I get excited when I see mom. So I'm like, yay, good. Like someone different or someone skinny or someone, you know, who is a different type of mom. But then I'm also like, it's not real for me.
Right.
And I wonder like if, with the break room womb, I said break room, sorry. With the break womb, I love that that's what you guys do, is you're bringing your perspective in as the moms that you are. It's a very unique voice, and you have, as you said, found your niche. how do you guys come up with ideas for your, is it just based off of like actually what's happening in your life?
Yeah, totally. We often just will get together and be like, oh, here's, you know, this thing, I'm just chatting, and then being like, that would be a good sketch. I mean, I think that's literally every idea.
Yeah. Or someone will just say like, this happened to me and it made me think we should do something with this.
Are you ever worried? Cause like I'm never considered myself to be like a mom blogger or in the mom type world or anything like that. When I first had my daughter, I was still just trying to be an actor, like, you know, just like, what am I doing? And then I was like wanting to do something creative, so I started Motherhood in Hollywood, and I thought, what an easy way to not have to leave my house and just have people come over and like just audio only. And in doing that, I just forgot what I was gonna ask you guys. It was
mom brain
totally not awake yet. But in doing that, I wanted to find a way to talk to other moms, get creative. The mommy blogging world. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Do you find that the mommy video world is getting more competitive? That there's more? Are you finding any of that? Because I know for me, I get a lot of weird competitiveness from mom bloggers.
Uh-huh.
Even though I don't consider myself to be a mom blogger.
Yeah.
I probably could have gotten to that question much faster. So I apologize. Literally took 9 turns to get there. But basically that's
what I'm
saying.
I like the destination. I think that we have noticed a fair amount of other like sketch mom comedy since we started. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's great, like other people wanting to do that. Because I think when we were starting, as Molly was saying, that we saw that it was more at the time, more like vlogging, trying to get my V on there very clearly.
Vlogging.
Vlogging, like straight to camera, just sort of like chatting about Mom motherhood. Stuff. And since we came from Second City and the Groundlings, we wanted that sketch approach. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, but I feel like I've seen more sketch, mom sketch stuff, like on BuzzFeed and things like that.
The mommy world, blogging, video, everything, it's
blowing up.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And I think for the same reason we got into it, of like, well, this is my life now.
Yeah.
And it's so accessible. You know, it just sitting at the computer or filming yourself with your iPhone, you know, it's something that moms who maybe feel like, oh, well, now my identity is all wrapped up in being a mom.
Yeah.
What can I do with that?
Yeah.
And I It's interesting that I'm a fairly competitive person, and I it's really easy for me to compare myself to other things, and we certainly have done that. We've seen other videos that stuff, blow up, and it's like, well, why did that do so well? Mm-hmm. Why didn't ours do so well?
Yeah, because now I'm wondering, are you guys, because you have such great success with your videos, are you like tracking it now? Are you finding that you're tracking downloads and you're tracking subscribers? How much into the like analytics are you kind of diving there?
Deep.
Because that's the same thing has happened to me, like with podcasting. I'm like, how many downloads, how many subscribers? And I'm finding it's a whole nother side of business, if you will, that I had no idea about. Now I'm learning more.
And that's really funny to us, because that almost back to what we were talking about before when we started, being like, oh my gosh, let's get together.
This will be so cash.
If someone had told us then that a year and a half from now, you guys are going to be like monitoring your Instagram and your this, and like every week meeting to figure out how to maintain your social media presence, I think we all would have been like, you know what? Let's not do this.
That sounds exhausting.
I don't think
there are days, honestly, where I'm exhausted and I'm just doing it by myself. And I love that you guys have a buddy. You have friends. If there's one thing I wish I kind of would redo, it would be I would go back and have maybe another mom friend do it with me.
Yeah.
But a big part of the reason too why I started this is I didn't have a lot of mom friends. Most of my friends who are actors still don't have kids.
Yeah.
My daughter is like, has so many aunts and uncles.
Oh, yeah.
She has no like brothers and sisters or cousins, but a lot of aunts and uncles.
So nice.
They're slowly starting to have kids now, but it was like nobody. So that's why I think it's great is you guys have this team, this great unit, and it sounds like because of your comedy connection that you get it and you know where you're going and that sort of thing. Have you created a business now out of the break room?
Officially, no. Like, this is another one of our ongoing things of like forming an LLC and all these ongoing debates. I mean, we had a call with a lawyer
like a week ago
that made my brain sizzle because I was just like, what?
Yeah, it was crazy. And since that phone call, I haven't even gotten to share this with Molly yet.
Like, we'll have a business
meeting. Right, we will. I've been like downloading podcasts on, I'm becoming like trying to learn about, like give myself an MBA. I'm like,
that's what you have to do. You all of a sudden start diving into this whole the business side of things because you want to make sure you do it right and everything.
Exactly.
It's overwhelming.
It's completely overwhelming. There's great material. There's so many great things out there, though. I feel like I found them, and would love to give them a shout out, but I already forgot their name. But there's a mom. It's like Moms in Business podcast.
There's a Mompreneur podcast.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Yeah, or a Moms on Fire.
Ooh,
something
great.
Like that. There's a couple of them. Like there's the big podcast that was like an Entrepreneur on Fire or something like that.
Oh,
and now this is just for moms.
Oh wow!
I'll have to look up the name. I only saw her because she followed me on Instagram the other day. And I was like, what is this?
I don't even know how I stumbled on this lady, but she's in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And that's who was on. And she was great explaining like starting your own LLC or S Corp or all this stuff that I was like, oh, this is a good podcast.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Like you've all of a sudden then go, oh, we have something here. We have a business. We need to start making money. We need to start getting like, that creative side kind of gets pushed to the side just a little bit, and you have to be like, all right, now I'm a business person.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's really been fascinating. I mean, this whole experience has been an incredible learning experience. And like Megan said, I don't think we had any idea, and we would have run if we had any idea. But very recently, I was getting really overwhelmed with the amount of work that was going into this, and I really found like it was the primary thing that I was putting any attention into other than raising a child and keeping people alive and things like that. And I turned a corner and stopped viewing this as a hobby and started saying, this is a business we're starting.
It absolutely is a business, and I can't wait for you to hear the rest of what the Break Womb Moms have to say about their business and where it's going from here. And I want to take this opportunity to tell you guys a little bit more about my business, Motherhood in Hollywood. In particular, we have a wonderful sponsor, and that's Up4 Probiotics. If you haven't heard of Up4 Probiotics, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, check out the review I did and how they worked for our family. Channing has had some digestive issues, honestly, since she was on solid, since she started solid foods, and I didn't know what to do or how I could help her. She's had lots of tests run. We tried the Up4 probiotics just, you know, I would almost say on a whim, but it wasn't because I did a lot of research and reading about them before I gave them to her. And it made a difference. Her gut is doing much better, and won't go into too many details in case somebody's having a snack while they're listening to listening to my show. But I can say that this company has been around for a really long time. They know what they're doing. They have trademarked their super strain. They've done lots of research and studies. But when it comes down to brass tacks, what ended up working for me was actually seeing it work on my child. So if you want to check out Up4 Probiotics and see how they work in your life, if you're having any gut problems or digestive issues, go to up4probiotics.com, or you can find them in your local Target store in the vitamin and supplement sections. Up4 Probiotics has been creating a healthier inside since 1979.
To commit the time and invest right. in like doing research and stuff like that. When it stops being like, we do videos on YouTube and starts being like, well, like, you know, because the LLC conversation came up because we've had a few paying jobs and they're like, who do we make this out to? And we're like, oh crap. Well, one of us, and then one of us has to distribute the money, but that person is going to get all of the tax burden. And you know, you start thinking about these things.
Yeah.
And so once I started
And plus
saying,
you
like,
guys could really monetize it. Like you could get sponsors for the show and, you know, and really, you know, there's the possibilities are endless for something like this.
Yeah. It is really amazing. All of the things that are possible in terms of like branded content, just straight up sponsorship. And again, like nothing that we had really anticipated. And now we're sort of like, well, let's dive in, you know.
I'm in agreement, and I watch a show all the time. I don't know if either you guys watch called Bar Rescue.
I've seen Bar Rescue. Yeah. Where they set up the hidden cameras.
Yeah. And this guy who's like a character, I watch it just for him, but he comes in and he deals with like,
he's like,
you know,
your boss sucks.
Yeah. He's so rude to them. Like so I watch rude. It just for them. Yeah. I'd be like, what are you doing? You're losing so much money. But I realized watching that show, and this is pretty recently, I'm like, yeah, these idiots like own these huge businesses. Like, and you just like the guy I was watching last night was like, yeah, you know, he was doing landscaping and just decided to buy a bar, and now he has this business. And I'm like, now why am I afraid of turning this into a business when this guy just took on like a $300,000 bar, and I'm afraid to make a, you know, go to the next level. So I think that it has helped to be like, I think we could make this a business.
I absolutely think you could. And I am scandalized that you haven't already. I really am. Like 3 months into mine, I was like, God damn it, I'm making money on this. Let's do it.
Is that, did you form all that stuff?
Yeah, I did last fall because I was getting approached by people who wanted to sponsor my show.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, if I just take their money, that seems shady, and I really should like get legit about this. And so, yeah, I went and I opened my bank account, got my tax ID number, and I went through those steps. And I'm still learning. There's things that I'm still learning that I need to figure out in terms of business. But yeah, and I want you guys to do that.
Yeah,
I do.
Thank you, Heather. We hope so. We're working on it. Yeah. It is really, and it's funny because you said something a little while ago about the creative side of it, and the unfortunate side effect is that we find that planning our videos has become like,
oh my gosh,
the night before we're like, what are we doing?
You know? Yeah. But that's also a very mom thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because I think most moms, I don't want to speak for every mom, but a lot of us juggle a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? What are we going to do next? When are we going to do this? And a lot of stuff is last minute like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's too far outside of your niche, even in planning your videos, because that's a very mom thing to do.
Yeah. You're right.
I was literally just getting out of the shower right before you guys came. No. I was like, oh, they're going to be here. So tell me then, what is the end goal, do you think, with the break room? Do you guys want a TV show? Do you want to do like another web series or branch out? I'm sure you've had time to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I think, well, I think our short-term goal is to stop losing money or like yes. stop putting our own money into this. I think when we first set out, we were thinking television, and we still are. I think that's mm-hmm. a goal of ours is to bring this in some form to TV.
That be like you guys write something together like a pilot, or do you think that you would just sort of keep the break room and maybe expand on their worlds? Or
yeah, there's been a few different versions of it that we've talked about, and I think at its heart we see it as a sketch show, centered in the mom world and things that supplement that, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't necessarily be half an hour of our 2-minute sketches,
sure,
but some other stuff, whether it's expanding the world or finding different ways to approach the content that might not be straight up sketches.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that in this amount of time, we've learned so much about the world online.
Yeah,
and we still would like to have a TV show, but you also realize like you can reach a huge audience
mm-hmm.
and make money and really be a viable entity online.
Online.
Yeah.
It's amazing the amount of online content and online celebs, you know, that are being made. Yes. My agent had told me once, and I could say this because she doesn't listen to my podcast, but she told me once ago, if you ever want to make it in this town, you have to be a Vine star or a YouTube star.
Oh my gosh.
And I literally looked at her and I was like, what am I going to do? I'm an old mom. Like, oh, I'm not a Vine star. I'm not going to start like showing my boobs or whatever. And she's like, you don't have to show your boobs. Maybe just hint at them.
Oh my God.
But like, but it's that whole mentality of you have to appeal to the younger kids.
Yeah.
Which I feel like for moms is really hard to do. Like, you can't be like, hey, 17-year-old, get on board with what I'm talking about, breastfeeding, and you know, like,
wow. Oh my God.
You know, so what are we supposed to do? And so that's why I think it's fantastic that so many moms are going, I don't need them. I don't need the 17-year-olds. I've got a whole generation of people who are moms and dads and know what I'm going through, and I will go for them. They're the ones with the buying power anyway.
Right.
That's
right. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
so true.
Yeah, that's a big thing is, and I'm sure you experience this too, being approached by people because mm-hmm. they know the buying power of this demographic.
They do. Yeah.
And it's incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why we think, certainly we've had meetings and where people are like, well, we're just not sure what to do with mom comedy.
Hmm.
And generally those aren't moms
right.
who say that.
Right.
Because
some 20-year-old guy who's
right.
like,
what are you? But there's a huge audience for
Massive.
It.
Massive.
Yeah.
There is, that's why I think there's movies like Mother's Day that are being made.
Oh, yeah.
Which, did you see Mother's Day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We can either talk about it and like just say it was really terrible and move on. But we also all want to work for that director someday.
Right.
So we don't have to.
Okay.
I have made several subtle hints on my podcast where I'm like, oh dear, Gary Marshall. Oh heavens. But Bad Moms is coming out.
Right.
There's also, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. I read an article like a few months ago that kind of labeled all of these mom movies that are coming out now, the mom coms.
Oh.
And it's also something that seems to be kind of translating to TV. There's a new, Mom has been around for a while on CBS, but there's a new Tina Fey TV show coming out about a mom and her daughter. And I feel like Amy Schumer too.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
completely
cool.
Talking out of my ass. But there's a bunch of shows that are kind of in the works about moms and the relationship between mom and daughter and mom and kids and all that stuff. So moms are hot right now.
Yeah.
Hot moms.
Hot moms.
It's really interesting to me, the smart ladies that are positioning themselves, whether you intentionally do it or not, whether it's just for fun or what, you're positioning yourself to be like, hey, we're all ready to go. Look, I have this, I have an amazing fan base already.
Right.
I have great content for you. We are ready to go.
Yeah.
As actors, are you starting to see the value that you have there?
Like, what do you mean by seeing the...
Do you see the... the opportunities to expand on it.
Oh.
And like, as far as like maybe a network or a Netflix even or Amazon.
Oh gosh, that would be
awesome.
Or
are you thinking you just want to stay focused on internet content? And
I mean, I think that we would do either at this point. Like, mm-hmm. just as Molly said, number one goal, not losing our own money. Right?
And someone else please pay for this.
Right. But I am noticing the more we've gotten into this that I love what I love about this, especially coming from our backgrounds, is mm-hmm. that we get our voice in it. Like, I remember when I moved here and I was meeting with agents, because we come from Second City, where you write and appear in your own work. Mm-hmm. I met with an agent who said, like, well, you can't do both. You're just not going to be able to. That's not how Hollywood works. You have to do one or the other. And I said, oh, well, what that. About Tina Fey? Because yeah. she's doing that. There's mm-hmm. plenty of comedians that are doing that. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, Mindy no, Kaling. No. That's, yeah, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to. And I was like, okay. Wow. And so what I love about this is it feels really, and I would love that. That's why whether it's Netflix, Amazon, wherever it lives, it's mm-hmm. so satisfying to create and be in our own
it's
stuff.
Empowering
yeah.
it
really is yeah
that's one of the things I like about this is I get to be like I get to reach out to people and say please come on my show and I decide who I want to come on
yeah
and it's very empowering and as a mom when you have your kids and you kind of start to feel like you have no say you're literally just a feeding cleaning driving machine mm-hmm. it's nice to have something in your life that's like this is mine and totally, it's my yeah. little creative baby and yep. Yeah so it's moms are really we're taking over
yeah
yeah it's, well and it's yeah. also I think the other really great part about that I'm sure you experience as well is that not only do you have your other this project that mm-hmm. it keeps you from just being a feeding cleaning
right machine right
but the feeding cleaning driving aspect of your life fuels this
yes
so
yeah
so
yeah
even those moments where I'm with my daughter and she's making me crazy at least I can log it and be like I'll use this in a video I'll use it in a video
right
you know? So true
right and how old is your daughter?
She's 2.5.
She's 2.5. Yes. Oh my god. Mine just turned 3
Aww,
in April.
So.
And what about yours?
My son will be 4 in August.
Oh, so literally you guys all have about the same
yeah.
age.
Yeah. Laurel's son turned 2 in April.
Yeah.
Wow.
April 9th.
So yeah. we're all in the throes of toddler preschool
uh-huh.
age.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What a time.
Can
it's
we just
fascinating
take a minute to think about that. Ooh. She's my daughter is very our mommy and me instructor said when she was really little and I kept thinking my kid cries a lot like everybody else's baby seems super mellow our mommy and me instructor was like she just has big feelings that's
Aww.
All just big feelings and I was like drama that's what that is she is
oh
a drama
gosh,
queen is what's
is.
Happening and she's not changed she still will go from like this everything's fine to whoa
oh
I like have this
gosh.
Big melting sobbing moment and I'm like what happened so there's a lot of you know those moments that are happening in my day and I'm tired you guys
oh yeah
I'm tired.
That's so
yeah.
exhausting
all the time
yeah
are you working full-time anywhere else or are you doing stay-at-home mom stuff and break womb and hoping to get auditions like me
yeah it's a combination of stuff I also teach and coach improv
oh yeah you both
do
that.
Auditions
yeah. do you do Groundlings or Second City or both
Laurel does Groundlings and is actually part of the reason she can't be here today is she's currently writing a new show.
Oh, nice.
So that's an active thing for her right now. Second City out here, we've done stuff with them. We actually mm-hmm. did our first live break room show
nice.
At Second City over the weekend.
How'd it go?
Really fun.
Good.
Yeah, it was a blast. So we do occasional improv shows over there now
yeah.
and then, but nothing on an ongoing official
so do
basis.
You are you still in improv groups you kind of pop in and out of your regular group or you do it with just the three of you
I'm not we're still part of a group Megan Laurel and I are we're part of this group called Catnip which is an all ladies mm-hmm. improv group mm-hmm. that's been dormant for a
couple of
years
year
or so
or,
we
yeah,
we were doing
yeah.
shows once a month for a while but a lot of us had kids and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So who knows? In at some point we may pop back up again. But it's a group of all, you know, mainly Chicago friends, mm-hmm. a new LA friend here and there. But there's not any regular other shows that we do together.
Yeah.
At this point.
I also do improv shows with Jim Belushi. He does like a touring group, mm-hmm. That tours to performing arts centers around the country.
Oh, nice.
So I do that. It's not all the time. Like we're going out next week
yeah.
to do a show in Chicago, but
it's
not.
Just like a one-off. You go and you come
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, out of all of the things that I missed, or one of the things I definitely felt like I had to give up after I had my daughter, was the weekly improv shows and sketch. At one point I was doing sketch. It would take up four, sometimes five nights a week because you would go to your pitch night and then you would be meeting with your writing partner, whoever, for rehearsals. Then there was the scramble for costumes and then you would go and do the show. And then, you know, if you wanted to go and support somebody else's show, that was a whole nother night. I just felt like I didn't want to do that anymore. I'm sort of burnt out. And it makes me then, like, I can't get mad when I see improv shows where I'm like, why is this a bunch of dudes making dick jokes? And I'm like, where are the ladies?
Right.
You know?
It's like
they're
tired.
They're all at home just like,
I miss it terribly. And and just recently I've really hit a funk of realizing that improv shows not only were fun and a creative outlet, but they were also a big social outlet.
Totally.
And I'm really missing that. And then I get the opportunity to do a show and I'll be like, I can't.
I'm so tired.
That's what was so nice about the live one we did this weekend was it was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we were like,
we're all awake and fresh. Yeah.
It was great. It was so if we can get a matinee going, that would be
a little amazing afternoon show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I definitely miss doing sketch. I miss the social aspect of it, like you said. Like I miss seeing other people, that creative outlet. But I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe I'll just do an acting class. Mm-hmm. It's not as much of a time commitment like an improv or sketch comedy show. So whenever I see other moms who are still doing improv and sketch, I'm like, good on ya.
Oh gosh.
Good for you.
That's what I think too. I can't handle it.
Do they make you play the mom a lot? And they're like, oh, hey mom. And you're like, aw. You come out on stage and you're like, really?
Oh gosh.
Thanks for that.
Oh my gosh.
I'm off the clock right now.
I know. Come on.
Oh gosh. You know what's funny with the gym group? I'm the only woman in it. And Larry usually ends up, Larry Joe Campbell, who was on According to Jim with Jim Belushi, usually plays all the way.
That's amazing.
Sometimes Josh likes to jump in there, but like, it's pretty funny to me. Great. He loves being.
He's embracing that side of himself.
Sure. No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's
and you can play bus drivers, right?
Yes. Bus drivers.
Policewoman, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, good times with casting.
Yes.
I am so excited to see where the break room goes. Thank you. I want to mention too, I love the sound effect of the breast pump. The minute I heard that, I was like, oh God. Because I've never had a more humiliating and horrible experience than when I first used my breast pump.
Oh no.
It was so bad. It was like, I'm a cow.
Yeah.
I felt like a cow just being milked. And my husband was like, that looks terrible.
Isn't that no one talks about this when you're pregnant, of like the first time your husband watches you use a breast pump. And you're like,
so
I'm
awkward.
A farm animal.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I am a big giant cow right now.
And you start to hear voices in the pump sound. Oh my gosh. Like you hear words in it.
What's it saying to me?
And I just couldn't get mine to work right. Like I know, like I remember being like, every single thing overwhelmed me because I was so tired. So I was like, I can't get this baby monitor to work. I don't know how to open this stroller. The flanges don't fit me on this breast pump. Like it was so many new things that I couldn't handle all of them. I was like, oh.
I can see now why when people have their second baby that they're much more chill. Because when you have the first one, you know, it's like, what am I doing? Yeah. You have to find the right nipple size for your breast pump. Yeah. And those are things I never think about.
No.
I'm just like, I need to buy diapers.
I know.
I need those and like maybe a onesie, but
I had no clue. I remember that too, like where the first time like leaking through a shirt and being like, oh, well, I need these pads to put in. Oh my gosh, I have to wear pads all the time in my bra now. Okay, all right. Like, but I just didn't. There's so many things you don't know.
So many things. What are you guys hoping that when people watch your videos, whether it be moms, dads, whoever, what are you guys hoping they get out of it?
I think
if anything, if you just say F them and we don't care now.
First and foremost, I think we want them to laugh. Mm-hmm. But I think the topics we tackle for the most part and the videos that seem to be the most successful are the ones that people can relate to. And I think to say, you know, there's so many different types of mom stuff out there. And some of it is like the Pinterest mom who's got perfect projects and birthday decorations. And then on the other end, there's the like, I'm terrible at this mom. And I think we're kind of in the middle. Like, I think we're the sort of like, we're trying, but we have our limits.
But you guys are playing characters, sort of, right? Like versions of yourself.
Versions of ourselves.
Yes.
Right.
And I think to us, you know, like we are representing our reality. Mm-hmm. And what we're learning is that a lot of moms share the same reality. And that's, yeah, and that's what we like, is getting the comments of things like, oh, I thought this was just me. Or it's like you guys are listening in on my conversations. And that's right, the most rewarding feedback. Definitely. We get.
Yeah.
And I, similar to your backstage post, they got, like, there was a topic to me a while ago that I still get bummed by negative comments, yeah, when people are.
It sucks. And that people feel like they need to be nasty.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think they, like, we did a topic on that came from me, mm-hmm, my idea being like, my son in preschool has a lot of days off, and it's tricky when I'm trying to work. It's very tricky to balance that.
Yeah.
And we did a video on that that I would say got a fair amount of negative comments, with people being like, how dare you? You know, you're lucky when your kid is home, enjoy it.
Oh,
and I'm like,
on.
Oh my gosh, this has nothing to do with me not loving my kid.
But yeah, but people on the internet are crazy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and it's just an interesting phenomenon to realize you have to sort of, yeah, like in every video we do, because the goal is never to offend anyone. The goal is, right, to make them laugh. So I think it's made me open my eyes to, like, when we do our videos, trying, I mean, you can't anticipate everyone's I'm going to be offended by this, but I was like, oh, I guess I could have in that video done a better job of protecting it right up top, being like, I love my son.
But I like spending time with him. And I really have to earn money so he can eat.
Exactly. Right, like, right, it wasn't a knock on him. It
or
wasn't
teachers.
A knock on teachers.
We got some flack really? On that. It was that we were like saying that teachers didn't want to work,
oh
which was
and
not
I love
there anywhere.
Teachers. I love my
I
son's teachers.
Also,
like,
too, though, there are so many people with a wide variety of perception.
Yes.
They see, you know, we'll
that's
all
true.
Watch the same video and see a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Read the same article and get a completely different feeling,
right,
from it. So I think as long as you're true to yourselves and your vision of making people laugh, and you know you're doing that, then
yeah,
there's going to be nasty people all over the place.
And I think that we've become, I'll speak for myself, I've become a little bit more comfortable with that over time.
You
me
almost
too.
Have
yeah.
to be with the amount of views yeah. you're getting and comments, like you
right.
almost have to be.
Because it's you can't be aware of everything that's going to, mm-hmm. you know, set someone off. But I also think, again, like, for a video to be, you know, relatable and to sort of make people feel better, it might be something that strikes a nerve.
Yeah, it might
you're
push
right.
buttons.
You're right.
Because you're totally comedy right. by its very nature can be edgy.
Yes.
Yeah. It kind of exploits certain topics, you know, pushes the envelope with certain topics a
yeah.
little bit. And there's always going to be someone who's like, oh, that's not funny.
And yeah. the difference is with our background at Second City, where you were doing, you know, six to eight shows a week and you're in front of 300 people a night, you got laughter as a feedback, but you never got, when you're on the internet, you actually get the comments. Like
yeah.
you rarely to never actually got an audience member who's like, let me leave you a comment
right.
about what I thought about your sketch.
Could
like,
you imagine?
No, I think it, cause at Second City, the material was daring and edgy.
And satire.
Live.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is there is an element of satire to what we do. The sketch we released this week was about parenting duties, sharing parenting duties,
mm-hmm.
mom and dad.
Yeah.
And it was definitely satirical. It was a heightened version of stuff, but it basically was about how the moms are doing all the work.
Right.
And
dad comes home and,
right.
you know, expects
so,
dinner.
And we knew that might strike a nerve. And
yeah.
that there would be, of course, the people who are like, well, in my household, everything is perfect.
Oh,
my
yes.
husband does everything.
We like, share right? everything
right.
equally. I
can't believe that.
someone was like, it just comes with maturity that you take care of each other or something.
I was like, what?
Great,
yeah.
You're very mature.
good job. You're winning.
Right.
You
and,
win.
And it's and that's the funny thing, too, is the people who have to comment to make sure people know that they're not like that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, we don't right. do this in my house.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But
oh,
it's hard sometimes for people to grasp satire and the fact mm-hmm. that we're not saying that literally this is what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking the issue and we're
uh-huh.
making it bigger for comedic effect.
And I feel like it's such a shame that you have to explain that
to
people.
Like, I know.
Don't you get it? Like, there's a breast pump on our logo.
Right.
Like, we're
right.
we're clearly comedians, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I think it's such a shame that you guys, people don't just take it for what it is. But I think we are living in a world where people are so sensitive
mm-hmm.
that
right.
and
yeah.
so, like, ready to fight and stand
yeah.
up and go, you're infringing on my feelings,
yeah.
you know, that it's hard for comedians and comedic people to do what they do.
Yeah.
I was doing stand-up a few weeks ago, and I'm a terrible stand-up, by the way. I'm just going to say that right now.
I was like,
I'm pretty sure I said something like, are there any moms out here? Like, it was really horrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love being a mom. You know, it's great. Is anybody, you know, do we have any parents here tonight? Some jackass goes, boo.
No, come on.
And I go, did you just boo parents?
Oh my gosh. Do you have parents?
I know.
Oh,
I was like, gosh. Are you just like booing the idea of parents or kids or both? And he goes, boo on kids. And I was like,
oh my gosh. Oh my God.
I was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, you were once a kid,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, right?
Boo yourself.
Yes.
But it's, I think it's that whole mentality sometimes in LA, you know, maybe not even just LA specific, but it's very much a world where you either have the people who get it and they're all about families and they want to be, you know, right there with you. And then you've got the people who are like, no, children.
Yeah.
No, they're ruining my good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is amazing. Before I had kids, there were certainly times where I was never eager to like go to a kid's birthday party or something.
Sure.
But, I'm still not eager.
Never,
I know.
I would never be so bold to come out and be like, I don't like kids. Right. There was a time in my life where I was like, I don't want to have kids.
Sure. I went through that too. I think a lot of people do. Yeah.
But now I'm saying I'm swinging way on the other side, but like when I'm with my daughter, especially when she was a baby and I would pass people and they did not like smile at her, I'd be like, you monster. What? This is a baby. You have to smile. She's smiling at you. Yeah. Don't be an animal.
See, I'm the asshole that would purposely not smile at other people's kids. Oh, I'd be like, gosh. I see it. And I would just keep walking. Because I was such a jerk. And I'd be like, I can make one of those. Whatever. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
I think I was that person too. Like, I'm not charmed by your jumping.
Yeah. You know? One's impressed.
But now, when kids, people don't react to my daughter, I'm like, ugh.
You're the devil.
Yeah. What are you trying to prove?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So tell me, what other videos have you got in the pipeline? Like, what can we look forward to seeing? Have you had your meeting yet?
No. Oh yes, we have four in the pipeline.
Yes, we just shot this week. We banged out four videos in about 3.5 hours.
Yep. Awesome.
We don't want to give away too much.
I'm trying to think.
We did one commercial parody not long ago for a pillow to scream into. We have our second commercial coming up soon.
Yep. I love that.
Do you find that you're wanting to expand on the staple sitting around the table, like, because I noticed you guys have a couple of other types of videos on your YouTube channel. Are you wanting to do more things like that?
I think we've always wanted to do more things. It's been a matter of practicality that we have 3 hours to shoot and it has to be an easy shoot. So again, with having more budget, I think we would have time to do, like, fully realize the ideas. A lot of the times I find that we'll pitch an idea and then be like, how can we put it around a table, though?
Because if we need to do three videos, then we don't have to do different setups. Because setting up the camera and lights
the
and
lighting takes so
much time.
Yeah.
But our shoot on Monday, we did zero videos at the table.
Yeah.
It was all other stuff and all... I think another thing we've sort of been playing with a little bit more, all things where we were playing more like characters.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Even more different from ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's just sort of come with time of like, well, let's get out from behind the table and play with some more stuff. And I think that stuff we'll continue to explore a little bit more.
Yes, definitely.
I know that people ask me all the time, why don't you do videos with your... And I'm like, it sounds exhausting. It does. It really does.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to like coordinate a camera crew.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to have to do hair and makeup.
Yep.
So more power to you, ladies.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
We've lucked out so hard with our crew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are amazing. Shout out to them. Yes.
Yeah. So if it weren't for... If any of them had said no initially, we might not be doing this
now. You might be like, okay.
Definitely.
Well, that was a good idea.
Yeah. On to the next thing.
Our editor, who we haven't mentioned, is also awesome. Megan O'Brien is like absolutely great. And she's been our editor almost from the very first video.
She's critical to the comedy of our videos.
She
gets it.
The timing of the edits are really clean. Awesome. And you could tell whoever's editing it does it.
Yeah,
it almost looks like it's being switched live.
That's cool.
Live. Yeah. So she does a really great job.
She's a pro. She's worked as an editor in a bunch of different places. So we're very lucky we have her. Yeah.
Well, I am so excited, like I said, to see where this goes. I just think it's fantastic. Anytime moms can kind of take this town by the balls and go, let's make our own way. Let's do our own thing. I think it's fantastic. So
me too.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
You're doing
Tell me, really, thanks. Yeah. Tell me, wait, what compliment?
Yes, you are. You're taking it by the balls
Yeah, man.
So really quick, let's tell everybody where they can find your videos and find you on social media.
YouTube.com/TheBreakRoom. Facebook.com/TheBreakRoom.
Instagram.com/TheBreakRoom. And yeah. Twitter.
Yeah. So Twitter and Instagram, we are at The Break Room.
Yeah, perfect. And I will put so all of that up on motherhoodinhollywood.com as well. And I'll put up maybe some of your videos too, so people can see what
we're talking about.
And you guys, of course, can also find me at MIH Podcast on Twitter and Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.